Well, our message series is focused on the theme for this month, Stand Still. And throughout the Old Testament, we've seen instances in which God's Word says that God spoke to His people and said, stand still, because you're about to see something miraculous, something that only God can do. So I think not a more fitting title for a message than the message for today. Because as you've seen through the life and testimony of David Nasser, the greatest miracle that God has ever performed on this planet is the miracle of changing a person's life. That is the greatest miracle. In today's message, the Ethiopian eunuch, his chariot stands still as his life is radically changed by the amazing grace of God. So today's topic is Stand Still, and the text is Acts chapter 9, verses 26 through 40. And the verse that I've pulled out of that text is the verse in which that theme, the recurring theme, is found. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Today's story is an amazing one. Let's walk through it, let's stand still, and be amazed at the grace of God. The first thing we need to do is to begin with the background of the story. The Bible says in verse 6 that Philip is preaching in Samaria and he's experiencing some astounding results. In verse 6, the Bible says, and the multitude with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. You see, it was a dynamic and spiritual wow. God was doing something that only he could do. Revival was sweeping through Samaria with many lives changed. I love this story and what it says in verse 8. The Bible says, and there was great joy in that city. Why? Because God, through Jesus Christ, was changing people's lives. So do you get the picture? Stand still. Look at what God is up to. He is changing lives. Now, the first question I want to ask this morning is, who in their right mind would want to leave Samaria during this time? I mean, lives are being changed, miracles are taking place, God is at work, there was great joy in that city. Who in their right mind would want to leave an experience like this? That leads us to the first point, peculiar. Now, I do not want you to remember the outline of today's message. I want you to remember the message. The outline today is simply getting you from point A to point B to point C to point D of this message. So let's take a look this morning. First of all, the word is peculiar. The Bible says, now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went. Now, Philip preaches in Samaria. The results are amazing. Lives are being dramatically changed. The entire city is turned upside down. So that is why God's new plan for Philip seems so peculiar. Go to the desert? Have you ever been to a desert before? I have too, buddy. I've been to the Painted Desert in Arizona. How many of you have been to the Painted Desert in Arizona? If you have never been there, let me tell you what's painted. It's painted brown. All right, all of it. I've been to the Mojave Desert. How many of you have been to the Mojave Desert? Many of you. What do you find in a desert? Sand, lizards, and scorching heat. In other words, God is saying to Philip, leave this incredible experience, this spiritual and emotional high, and go to the desert. It's very peculiar. But I love Philip's response, because how did he respond? The Bible says he arose and went. Know what that is called? Ah, you've got it. Obedience. not necessarily what he had in mind. He had to give a lot up. It required inconvenience and sacrifice. But he was up to it. And by the way, as we think of our future, so should we. You see, obeying God is not always comfortable for the Christian. Peculiar. Go to the desert. Point number two, problem. That brings us to the next stage of this fascinating, riveting story. Because there is a problem. Let's take a look. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. There's a twofold problem here. Generally speaking, the problem is lostness. Specifically speaking, the problem is religion. Now, here's what's happening. The Ethiopian eunuch is a religious man. He's gone up to Jerusalem as a religious person to worship God and to go through all of the tenets of his religion. Well, while he was there in Jerusalem, he heard the preaching of Jesus Christ. For the very first time, he heard what? The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, what did he hear? Well, the New Testament wasn't around at that time. So the message that was being preached was from the Old Testament. Probably the book, from the book of Isaiah, and probably from Isaiah chapter 53, where in Isaiah chapter 53, the writer writes about the coming of the Messiah, his suffering, and also his death on the cross, Isaiah 53, hundreds of years before it even happened. So this religious guy is confused. He doesn't know what to believe. He's riding back to Ethiopia, not on a private jet, not on a Learjet. He's not driving a Corvette. He's going back in a chariot. Sounds kind of cool to me. I've never ridden a chariot before, and don't think I will in the near future. But he was. And as he was riding his chariot, he was searching for the truth. You know what his problem was? Generally, it was lostness. Specifically, his problem was religion. But now we've got to go to the next stage of the story, point number three, and it's called providence. Providence. The Bible says, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him. Awesome. Philip's life intersected with the eunuch's. Amazing. No accident. No coincidence, no uh-oh, it was divine providence. God orchestrated this meeting. As we think of divine providence, we think of 35 acres of property that God has miraculously given us. He is a sovereign God, and in his divine providence, he has allowed us to experience the miracle of the purchase of this property. It's called divine providence. Philip also recognized divine providence. God's Spirit said to Philip, go. God's Spirit, you see, speaks to what? To obedient hearts. So, the Spirit said, go. And I love Philip's response. Look at the Bible. He ran to him. It was a sense of urgency. There was a sense that this is a divine moment. There was a sense of urgency, so he ran. You see, when you run, sometimes it's because of a sense of urgency. I remember when I was a little boy and I discovered a wasp's nest. I don't know what the state bird is in Kentucky where I grew up. It's either a fly or a wasp. One or the other. And I discovered that wasp nest and accidentally made those dudes very angry. So you know what happens when wasps get mad? They get their little wings to going, and they go zzzz, and they come after you. And they got the little thing on the back of them, on the backside of them, that's called the stinger. And I want you to know, I was running for my life from about 20 wasps. I didn't make it. I fell to the ground as a little boy. I got stung 4 or 5 times, and I cried. But I tell you, I ran as fast. There was a sense of urgency as I ran. Well, Philip sensed urgency in his heart. This was a divine moment. This was a God thing, much like the 35a. There was a God thing. Let's go for it. Don't you enjoy reading about or seeing about his sense of urgency to obey God? I think that wouldn't it be a good idea if you and I in our Christian lives had an urgency in our lives to do what God tells us to do? Individually as a person, as a Christian, corporately as a church, wouldn't it be exciting to have this type of energy and enthusiasm and excitement about doing what God wants you to do? Point number 4. This is another stage in this story. Another dot that connects. Perplexed. The Bible says, and heard him, that is, Philip heard him reading Isaiah, the prophet, and said, do you understand what you are reading? Now, as Philip was running toward the chariot, he heard out loud that the eunuch was reading these words out loud. So he asked him a very important question when he comes up to the chariot. He says, do you understand what you're reading here? Does it make sense to you? And the eunuch answered, and this is what he said. He said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, according to the Bible, this man lives in spiritual darkness, even though he's a religious man. He is blinded by both his sin and by his religion. He asks Philip for help. Now, you and I must understand here, and this is a profound truth in God's Word, that the Bible speaks about spiritual blindness and darkness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, since our gospel is hid, veiled, it is veiled to those who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. Now, what is this eunuch's problem? He's spiritually lost and he's spiritually blind. He is blind by his lostness. He is blinded by his religion. So you see, Satan's work in his life and the lives of non-Christians is to blind people and to keep them in lostness. Let's translate this in modern terms. The metropolitan Colorado Springs area currently has a population of 617,714. It is estimated that 90% of the residents of our community do not attend a church anywhere on a given Sunday. That means that in El Paso County in the Colorado Springs metropolitan area, there are 555,943 persons who are spiritually blind and living in spiritual darkness. That is our primary task as a church, to reach as many of these 555,943 persons as possible with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, we're not going to make much of a dent when we have 30 parking spaces a week that are open for lost people. Multiply that times the average per space of 2 persons. We're going to reach 60 people, and that's still going to leave 555,883 persons who are lost. So God says, all right, Circle Drive, you're serious about reaching this city and impacting this city for Christ. So I'm going to give you 35 acres, and I'm going to show you through a process of what I want you to do with that land so that we can more greatly impact lostness in Colorado Springs. Because that's the reason that God sent Philip to the desert, was because of lostness. Now let's get back to the story. God is amazing. He knew the eunuch was searching. He knew that the eunuch would be traveling back from Jerusalem to his own country. And that's the reason he sent Philip to the desert. It was divine providence. But the eunuch is perplexed. Philip is sitting right next to him, and the eunuch points to a specific verse in the Old Testament. And what is it? Here's what it says. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So, you see, the eunuch is perplexed by these verses. He is spiritually lost, and he's living in a life of spiritual blindness. So he asked the question. Here it is. I ask you, Philip, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man? Perplexed, the eunuch here asks the question. He is a non-Christian. To a non-Christian, God's word doesn't make sense. Spiritually blind and in spiritual darkness. That is where you and I come in our culture, and that is where Philip comes in as we continue this story and we connect the next point, point number five, and that is the word point. So the Bible says that Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, he preached unto him Jesus. Now, one of the things I love about this story is, first of all, that Philip listened first. He didn't speak first. He didn't jump in with both guns blazing, but rather he listened, and then he spoke. You see, to gain an audience with lostness, you must listen. But the thing about Philip's message is it was very simple that day. The Bible says that he preached unto him Jesus. You see, that's what I loved about David Nasser's testimony this morning. It wasn't about religion. It wasn't about bad people becoming good. It's about Jesus raising the dead to life. So Philip explained the message to the eunuch. A person is separated from God by sin. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died on the cross in our place for our sins. Number four, God literally raised Jesus from the dead. And number five, if a person believes on Jesus and repents, that person will be forgiven. That person will be saved. Simple message to the point. But let me interject another truth here. There's Philip and the eunuch in the chariot, but I submit to you that there was another in the chariot that day, and that other was none other than the Holy Spirit, who opened the mouth of Philip and opened the heart of the eunuch. So that was the point. It was Jesus. But let's go on with, as the story continues, the next point, profess. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? This guy's so excited about the message, he's raring to get going for Jesus. But Philip said, hold on just a second. You got to believe first. If you believe with all of your heart, you may. And this was his answer. He answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then the next verse says, Philip commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and he baptized him. I love that phrase, stand still. Because when someone is coming to faith in Jesus Christ, what you and I need to do is we need to stand still and just watch the miracle unfold in our lives. At that very moment, we are the human instrument that the Spirit of God is working through, but it is God who does the changing. It is Jesus who does the saving. We get to be wonderful bystanders to see the grace of God at work in the heart of a repenting believer. So you see, the primary task of the Christian, the primary task of the church, is to see lives changed, to see people profess Jesus as Savior. And then, after a person professes faith in Jesus, the next step is believer's baptism. Philip baptized the eunuch. This event, however, is not the end. It's not the end of the story, but rather it's the beginning of a brand new life for the eunuch. Look, if you will, at point number 7. It's called passion. Passion. Now, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all of the cities till he came to Samaria. Now here it is. Two persons, two passions, two passionate faiths. The Bible says that the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Why? Why did the eunuch go on his way rejoicing after this encounter with Jesus Christ and this encounter with Philip? No longer perplexed, he both discovered the answer and he also experienced a life change. Now he has the passion of a new found faith. But then there's Philip. Did he just give up and say, well, I've bagged my convert. I'm just going to pack up my bags and go back to Samaria and go into retirement and watch some ESPN and read my Sports Illustrated for the rest of my life? Nope. The Bible says that Philip kept preaching the good news. He had a passion to see lives changed. He liked to stand still and see the grace of Jesus Christ change people's lives. Just like David Nasser, God's passion should also be ours. A passion to see Jesus Christ change people's lives. Just like Jesus changed David Nasser's life, and just like Jesus changed the life of the Ethiopian eunuch. So today, your life can be changed. Perhaps you've never experienced this life change. Maybe like David Nasser, maybe like the Ethiopian eunuch, you've experienced a lot of religion, but your life has never been changed by the grace of Jesus Christ. Well, today, you can experience a life change. Just like the eunuch, just like David Nasser, Jesus Christ can change your life this very day, this very moment, this very instant.